World's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Sometimes I feel like a lion tamer with a bunch of fiery do-gooders out there. Thanks for joining us here every morning. I don't know what I would do without this show. Let me get my glasses on, look over here. 2,159, if my numbers are calculated properly. 2,159. Spencer put his hands up. 2,100 and what, Spence? Go ahead and say, I can't see. Oh, my God. 2,158. I got that wrong. That's a bunch of them, isn't it? It's a bunch of shows. And this show's changed my life because it's really, really given me focus. I get up every morning about 5:30, and I spend some time with the Lord, and focuses me, directs me. And I don't want to use the term controversial, but we've become somewhat controversial here. And controversial just because, first of all, you don't ever know what you're going to get to eat here. And it's like going out to breakfast. You don't know whether you're going to get pancakes or fried bacon. Because we're not afraid to take on some of those tough things. Let me clarify something here real quickly, because I think it's a great understanding yesterday. Had a little spat with Martin, and Ohio Brett jumped in there and said, "Hey, Martin, quit interrupting," whatever. Well, I had a talk with Martin. Folks, you don't understand the way this show operates, okay? Martin's on the phone. He calls in on the phone or watches on the phone, and many of you do. But when you watch on the phone, you don't see the screen. You don't see what I see. And so just so if you're out there, if you call and you want to get in and you can't see the screen, it seems like I'm skipping over you. Well, look, I skip over you because I have a list of people who have their hands up. Sometimes there's five of them. Sometimes there's 10 of them. And I always try to go to new people first. So if you're just sitting there watching it on the phone and you got your hand up and I'm not calling on you, you think I'm censoring you. I'm not censoring you. This is an open forum. I've never censored anybody, but we give everybody an opportunity to get their turn to speak. So Martin didn't realize that there was a list there, and he was getting kind of mad because I wouldn't let him talk, not realizing that there are other people in front of him. So if you're watching it on, so look, you're allowed to say whatever you want to say here. You can call me whatever you want to call. I don't censor anybody, but I do try to be fair and go down, and it's be like jumping in front of somebody at the grocery store. You just don't do that, do you? You just don't do that. And so I don't want people to jump in front of. Now, sometimes Randy will pop in and say, "Coach, I'm sorry, Coach. I'm on my phone. He can't see either. I got this. And sometimes he'll jump in there. And I don't play favorites. All right? I don't try. Let's be kind with each other here. Let me say this again. I don't censor anybody, okay? But I'm going to say this. I don't want somebody to come in 10 times when somebody else is waiting to get in the first time. You guys good with that? Come on. Censoring people. Cheesy peasy. Hey, great news. Well, first of all, Sue Adams, our dear sister in Christ, Sue Adams, had her second grandbaby yesterday. And Sue, man, I know what that's not a great grand. That's a grandbaby. It's a grandbaby. Boom. We rejoice with you, man. There ain't nothing changed my life like grandchildren. If you've never had them, I just can't tell you. Because you understand when you have your own child, you love your child. But man, when your child has a child and you don't have the responsibility of raising that kid, but you just get to hold it and spoil it, it's a whole different world. So Sue, we rejoice with you on that. We're glad you're out there, and we sure appreciate you. Here's some really, really good news. Bill Dunphy, Pastor Bill Dunphy, his sentencing was supposed to be May 24th, I think, coming up real close. And then they kicked it to July, I think. Yesterday they kicked it to September 19th. So Pastor Bill Dunphy will not be, I'm believing he'll never spend the first second in jail. That's what I'm believing. And they kicked it to September 19th. Why? Because the courtrooms are overloaded. Folks, what's that tell us about what's going on in America? Our courtrooms are overloaded with guys who showed up on January 6th. That's really all it was. I've been with Bill Dunphy. Bill and I have been buddies for a long time, 15 years, maybe closer to 20. Yeah, Joe, they need bed space probably. And I've gone and done a lot of street ministry with Pastor Bill. And to my knowledge, he'd only been arrested once. That was down at Terry Schiavo. I was arrested down there too. All the places he's gone, he's always obeyed the law. He's never been an insurrection. None of that stuff. And he shows up outside the Capitol and he preaches the gospel, talks about taking our country back and spiritually taking it back, and gets arrested, faces 30 years in jail, whatever. Folks, there's something seriously wrong, isn't there? Something seriously wrong. And it's a legal system with an agenda. I'm going to show you some of that stuff. You know, the Bible says that the Lord loves judgment and justice. I think it's in Proverbs. The Lord loves justice and judgment. Don't you understand that that's at the heart of the gospel? Don't you understand? Yeah, pull that up if you can. That's at the heart of the gospel. I'm sure it's in Proverbs. Somebody's out there's probably got it. The heart of the gospel is justice. There it is. Psalm, thank you, 37:28. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off forever. So righteous judgment is so important, because righteous judgment means everybody gets what they deserve. Nothing more, nothing less. And as I kind of said yesterday, Psalm 89:14. Thank you, Randy. And as I said yesterday, that's one of the problems we have in Christianity, because we don't get it. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. The Lord loves justice. And what Christianity is all about, the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all guilty. It says the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life. So you have wages and you have a gift. You have judgment and you have justice and you have mercy, right? Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before your face. So all have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if we've all sinned, then how does God bring justice and do it fairly? If we're all sin, and if the wages of sin is death, listen, the price, the fine, the penalty, use whatever word you want to, the price, fine, penalty for sin is death. You sin, you die. The Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So there is the violation of the law. All have sinned. We've all violated the law. This is what Christianity teaches. We've all violated the law. And the Bible says, because God is just, the violation of the law requires death. Are you with me? I've sinned. The penalty is death. But because God loves mercy, he said, here's what I'm going to do. Our people are so screwed up. They've all sinned. They're all dying. No. So in the fullness of time, he sent his son, who was what? He was a propitiation. Pull that up there. That's a big word, Spencer. Propitiation. Jesus Christ was a propitiation. P-R-O. Propitiation. P-I-T, propitiating, that would be it. Propitiate, there it is. The act of appeasing wrath and counseling the favor of an offended person. So God is angry with the sinner every day. It's what the scripture says. He's angry with the sinner every day. You can look it up. Trust me or look it up. And so he has wrath. He's wrath. He's angry with us every day. So he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my son, and I'm going to take it out on him. because the wages of sin is death. You sin, somebody's got to die. He said, okay, I'll send my son in your place. So like it's you're standing before a judge in the courtroom. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God. And they're going to, the scroll's going to be unrolled and there's going to be everything that you ever did. We couldn't believe that at one time, but maybe now with computers, we can understand, boy, they hit a button and a printout comes out of everything that you've ever done. Whoa, huh? And you're going to be standing there and they're going to say, okay, Coach Dave, what's your excuse? And I said, okay, mercy. I don't have an excuse. I don't have an excuse. And he says, well, I'd love to give you mercy, but mercy follows judgment. Judgment has to come, coach, before I can give you mercy. And all of sin and falling short of God. And as you stand before me and the evidence has been presented, you're guilty, dude. You're guilty. And as much as I really liked you and loved your show, sometimes I watched your show and I really liked it and it was good. Coach, this you sinned. And my justice requires death for that sin. And so as he's sentencing me to death, Jesus stands up back in the courtroom. He says, Your Honor, I would like to intervene. I died that death for Coach Dave. And I would like his penalty to fall upon me, that I would be the propitiation of the penalty that he deserves. Lay it on me. And Almighty God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Judge of the universe says, guilty as charged, judgment rendered, death. I'm good with that, son. And so I stand before the Lord, not sinless, but sinful and forgiven. Because why? The debt has been paid. The sin debt has been paid. Christ died on the cross as the payment for my sins. It's like if you and I go, I'll take you out to eat. When we went to the tornado relief, I took our workers out to eat. And we were at Texas Roadhouse. We had a good meal. And at the end, I told the waiter, so give me the bill. Give me the bill. And every one of those people sitting around that table, I think it was 10 of us, I don't remember how many it was, every one of them owed a debt. Every one of them owed a debt. But I said, pass the salt, we'll cover that debt. Do you get it? I didn't pay for everybody in the house. I didn't pay for everybody at Texas Roadhouse, that whole big building. No. I only paid for those who were mine, who were with me. That's the gospel. It's not that God's a mean old guy. And No. Judgment and justice. The soul that sins, it shall die. You got to pay a price for it, baby. And he did. The propitiation. That's the gospel. We don't understand. Now, we could get into deeper things about can't sin anymore and original sin, all that stuff. But that is the gospel. You're going to, we're all, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Now, Clay Parker, if you stand before the Lord today and the scroll is unrolled, what the hell is going to be your defense? What are you going to say when the Almighty God says, here it is, there it is, Parker. Look at that list. You got a good one there, brother. What do you say, Clay?
I'm going to say that the only way I'm going to be able to pay this debt is Jesus is going to pay it for me.
Clay, you know what the Lord says in the Revelation? That the Lord says, bring out the books. And he brings out the books. And Clay, all of us are going to be judged out of things written in the book. Who are you to judge? It's all right down there. He's already told you, right? And then the Bible says, and then he opened another book. Is that Revelation 21? Where is that? And the books are open. The great white throne judgment. Anybody know where that is? Bear with me, folks, because I think I'm speaking to somebody today who's never heard this. There it is. Keep going. Carry away. No, that's not it. Keep going.
Revelations 20, 12 through 13.
Revelation 20, 12 through 13. Let's start right there. I saw the dead and small and great stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. By the way, all the dead, the dead, that's all of them standing there, right? And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And then the sea gave up the dead which were in it, death and hell. Scroll on down, Spence. Delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to what he'd done. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So there's the books of what you did, and then there's the book of life, which is the book that your name gets written into if you've received Christ as your Savior, and the propitiation, the guy who paid your debt, the guy who picked up the tab when you walked out of heaven. Jesus picked up your tab. And if your name's on the tab, your meal's free. You following me? That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Now, see, we can get into a lot of confusion about this, and theologians, they can argue back and forth all they want to, whether you can lose your salvation or not use your salvation. Look, folks, it doesn't say that in what we just read, that your name got written in the book of life, and then you sinned a whole lot, and then he erased it. That your salvation wasn't real. Does God have an eraser? Well, we better be careful. Because it does say that he will, in another spot, says he will not blot your name out of the book of life. It does say that. So we have to be very, very careful. But I wonder, this whole salvation thing, we really, really get it. We really, really understand that everyone, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Ain't nobody in the eyes of God clean as a whistle. Nobody, nobody, nobody. That's why it's important that we understand that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. Because if he hadn't lived a sinless life, he would be hanging on the cross for his sins. He couldn't pay your sins. He had his own check he had to cover. But because he didn't owe a debt, he was able to go and say, put them all on my tab. As many as come, whoever will come, put them on my tab. Because I'm dying a death I don't owe. And put it on my tab. That's the gospel. And we get into it and we religialize it and we legalize it and we said, yeah, but it says this and yeah, but it says that and yeah, 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 yeah. So have to ask yourself, once saved, always saved? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And like my brother Joe said to me yesterday, 2 days ago, it's really profound, right? I shared you yesterday. My brother Dan was saved. He just didn't know how to walk it out. He just wasn't discipled and didn't know how to do it. And was overcome maybe by dark spiritual forces. But are those dark spiritual forces able to overcome the blood of Christ on his life at an earlier time? That's a debate, isn't it? We know this. We're not supposed to tempt the Lord. So we're not supposed to go get saved and then go live like hell. No. But they're extenuating circumstances. Amen? So if you bear with me a second, Oh, good question. Is Virgin Mary sinless? Jeez.
Personally,
was she personally sinless? Well, the Bible says all have sinned. All have sinned. And as far as I know, she was an
original sin.
Original sin?
She was original. We're all original sinners.
That's right. That's a Catholic doctrine that we've all had. And I want to go another direction, okay? Because this goes deep. That's what I say. There's so many things we've been taught that we really, really aren't sure of. Spencer, pull up my brother Dan's a bit, because my younger brother Bill, our baby brother Bill, wrote my brother Dan's a bit. And I just want you to hear something from this, because you guys don't really realize what a remarkable guy is. So I'm not going to read about the first part, but I remember Dan had one arm. His whole life, one arm, some 7 months old. And I just wanted to share this beautiful obituary that our baby brother wrote about Dan. Dan passed away May 20th following a brief illness. Ironically, he passed on the anniversary of the car accident that took his left arm in 1951 at the age of 7 months. Surviving the accident was a miracle, allowing those who knew him to be part of their life for the next 72 years. He never knew life with two arms. Think about that. Never knew life with two arms. And as a result, never let his handicap stand in his way. He was born, yada, yada, yada. Okay, Dan did many things. Imagine, remember this, friends. It's a one-arm guy. One arm. Dan did many things that would seem impossible for a one-armed man, including driving a semi-truck for Funny Fright Industries, climbing telephone poles to repair lines for United Telephone when he worked for them, operating an overhead crane at Kaiser. He also had a passion for cutting and splitting firewood, and using a chainsaw that he had modified with an attachment that allowed him to use his stub to work as his missing hand. On his chainsaw, he made this device that his stub could go in so that when he was chainsawing, he could put leverage on it. In his younger years, his athletic prowess did not go unnoticed. Participated in three sports from Little League through high school. Could play any position in baseball, but found most success on the mound as a catcher. One-arm guy. Many batters feared facing him as did many pitchers when he was at the plate. In football, he was a receiver, barefoot punter, and a respected tackler. Could hold his own on the basketball court as well, with superb defensive and rebounding skills. He's a graduate of 1968 Lakewood High School. Enjoyed hunting. Many big bucks crossed, but one arm, remember, one arm, when it was too late for them and ended up hanging on his wall. Rabbits and pheasants did not flush quick enough, only to become delicious meals prepared in a cast iron skillet. Legendary fisherman, he could not only bait his hook, but could remove his catch with ease with one arm. Although his drives on the golf course weren't legendary, I was going to say he lost the ability to count when he was on the golf course too. Although his drives on the golf course were legendary, his putting skills were top notch, and Dan was a skilled poker player and all those shuffling cards. Folks, can you think about this? Could you shuffle cards? How would you shuffle cards with one arm? Although shuffling cards, wow, usually he left the game with more than he came with. Try any of these activities with one arm and you will appreciate how difficult things most people take for granted were for him. Involved all, Dan enjoyed hosting parties for his family and friends. The former Little League baseball coach in Hebron. Never met a stranger. It's the life of the party. Remarkable guy, folks. Anybody who knew him, we'll never forget him. Never forget him. The miracles of watching that one-armed guy could do. Anyway, boom. Okay, where am I? I get emotional every time I start talking about him. Oh, what could it be? Huh? Come on in, Dale.
Coach, that's impressive. What a life story. That, man, let me tell you, I mean, when you're talking about those things, I'm thinking how it's that song, How Can It Be, right? You know, that those books, I'm gonna take a 2-minute journey real quick. I preach this message. When Flip Benham comes up and tells you, I've never heard that was impressive, you know you preached a good message. Revelation, that what you just read, those books. What are those books? Hebrews chapter 12, 2 says that the Lord, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And what do authors do, Coach? They write books. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, says, do you not know that you are the letters of commendation written by the Spirit of God? Do you not realize that we are these letters written? And then Job chapter 19 says, oh, that my words were inscribed on a rock forever with an iron stylus. Job, your words were written. You know why? Because the author and the finisher, he was writing. And you know what, Coach? We need to make sure we don't take the pen out of the author's hands, because he is writing our story. He wrote your brother's story. When we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, God writes. When we take the pen out of God's hand and we begin to write our story, Coach, it's an absolute disaster. And you know what? Sometimes you have high moments and sometimes you have lows. It's like a good book. Sometimes you have highs, but guess what? Then the chapter changes and the page turns. And this is our Christian walk. And those are those books. What is it that the Lord will read about in those books? Are they things that he wrote or are they things that we wrote?
Wow. Well done, because he's opening those books, right? Huh? Friends, look, are you looking at me? It's by grace alone, faith alone, grace alone. You can follow every one of the feast days. You can keep the Sabbath. You can never say a harsh word. You could never get angry. Dudes, you ain't getting in except through the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ, period. Period.
Amen.
And when you begin to attach earthly works to somehow validate your salvation, you are totally, like Dale said, you're writing your own story now. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to follow those things. He gave it to us as a guideline and an example. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, was that acceptance of Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and receiving his forgiveness, is that once and for all, or does it have to be done a second time over and over and over and over? Over and over. And I just happen to believe that it's bondage. The Bible says that the spirit of the law gives life. The letter of the law brings death. When you try to follow it on your own ability, that's what my brother Joe said about Dan. He wasn't able to work it out. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He didn't know how. Nobody showed him how. And it's not just him. The church where you go, is a pastor in your church showing you how to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? Is he? What does that mean? How deep can you go with the Lord? Is anybody showing you how to do that? Or is it just like a Jedi get out of jail free card that you're carrying around in your pocket? I got Jesus here. If I need him, look here, I got Jesus. Is that really? Because I think it's a lot deeper than that. And I think we're dealing, I think we're dealing with a lot of phony Christianity. Sorry, I think we do. Mary Beth, come on.
Coach, I just want to say that your brother is whole in heaven now. He's whole. He's whole. There.
I joked yesterday, he's got three arms. The Lord gave him one back, gave him another one. Yep. So again, we let our theology get in the way, and I could turn this into a theological argument. Oh, yeah, Coach Dave, what about this scripture? What about this scripture? Well, yeah, all I know is whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Folks, do you hear any exception in that? Any whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, unless there's no unlesses. There ain't no unlesses in that thing. Now, we all know this, that we are to strive to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But we are either saved at salvation or we're not. His blood is either sufficient or it's not. Now, personally, I don't get as close to that sin line as I can, and just because I know I'm good. That's a terrible, flee immorality. Run as far away from it as you can. But if you're born again of the Spirit of God, I believe it's under the blood. That's me. That's my story. And I'm sticking to it. Amen. Mary Beth, your hand's still up there. Can I go to something else?
Coach, quick. I just want to say otherwise, it would be in vain what Christ did.
It works.
So that's pretty simple.
So when you stand before him, the books are open. Books are open. What are all the stuff, all the crappy, stupid stuff you did? They're open. Does it say the books divided in half, pre-salvation and post-salvation? Here's the things you did before you got saved. And then here's the things that you did after you got saved. And by the way, those things that you did before you got saved, that They're in the book of life. That other stuff, oh, sorry, dude. That disqualifies. See, it doesn't make logical sense. Well, first of all, the gospel doesn't make sense. That's why the Bible says that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, because it's foolishness. Neither can he. Doesn't understand it. Doesn't get it. Bear with me. I wrote news with you today, and I'm dead serious about this, and I just want to share it all with you, if you don't mind. And I wrote today, make Christianity masculine again. All right? You with me? Have you guys noticed this kicker for the... Well, I'll get into it. Most Christian pastors are wussies. There, I said it. The compromised, weak, Jesus loves everybody messages emanating from the pulpits of America are responsible for the full bore, full steam ahead, in your face assault on everything Christian in this nation. The devil's moving forward because we will not stop it. The pulpits have preached a wussy Jesus and have filled America's churches with weak, compromised men. I'm sorry if this offends some of you weak, nicer than Jesus followers of him, but the truth is the truth no matter how much it stings. Is it any wonder that the average beer-drinking, NASCAR-loving, face-painting football fanatic wants nothing to do with Team Jesus? Hey, Clay, concentrate on that one a second, huh? Is it any wonder that the average beer-drinking, NASCAR-loving, face-painting football fanatic don't want nothing to do with Jesus?
Not surprising at all.
Uh-uh. So let me ask you a question. If you were not already saved, what is it about Christianity that would draw you to wanting to join Team Jesus? Praise the Lord. Jesus loves you, brother. Who am I to judge? Bilge does not resonate with those outside the safe confines of most of America's churches. As the Apostle Paul warned us, for if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Well, will someone please blow the damn trumpet? Most of the messengers are self-focused, soft, and geared toward women and men who act like women. It's almost as if testosterone went out the door with messages of hell and damnation. If you are a non-Christian male in today's society, what is it about Christianity that would make you want to become one? There's a reason why the football stadiums are full and the churches are empty. Hey, there's a reason why. A few years ago, I was working hard to disciple a friend, and finally, after having had enough of my overtures, he honestly and forcibly said to me, Dave, I think the world of you and what you believe, but I do not want to talk anymore about Jesus. I'm not interested in losing my balls. Boom! That's it. Huh? Isn't that it? Christianity has lost its balls. Why would any man want to become a Christian if it means losing his stones? Folks, we need to make Christianity masculine again. Have you been watching what's going on with Harrison Butt Kicker? That's his name, but I gave it to him. The Kansas City Chiefs kicker who called for more masculinity in America today. You know, love your wife, raise a family, be a stay-at-home mom, have more kids. The kind of values the American church used to support. Of course, that was pre-Travis Kelce, bowing to every whimper of his feministic, lion-taming Jezebel, Taylor Swift. Kelce did not support his butt-kicking teammate during the feminist onslaught. In fact, he's playing on the other team. Kelce is on Taylor's team. I could hit the hyperlink there, and I could show you. The Kelce said, if butt kicker's on the team, he doesn't want to be on the team. He'd rather be out with Jezebel. He'd rather take the side of Jezebel. Well, at least we now know that a punter is more of a man than Kelce is. Evidently, Travis Kelce is one of those soft men that my buddy was talking about when he told me he didn't want to lose his stones. Look, if we're ever going to get this ship called America righted, we must make America masculine again. Did you know that they once asked Jesus who was the greatest Christian to walk the earth? His response was shocking and a real indictment of where we find ourselves. Because Jesus responded with this. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John the Baptist, "Would you guys go out in the wilderness to see some pussy? Want to see some sissy man? A reed shaking in the wind? What would you out to see? Do you want to go out and see some guy dressed in real soft clothes?" Let me tell you something. Those who wear soft clothes, they're in the king's house. What'd you go out to see? A prophet? Yeah. I say unto you, but more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. And verily I say unto you, among those that are born of a woman, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist." Think about that, folks. And John the Baptist spoke truth to power, and it cost him his head. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and violent men take it by force. Vinny, that's a boom. What do you do with that scripture, folks? What do you give with that scripture? Love everybody, turn the other cheek. Who are you to judge? What do you do with that scripture? The kingdom of God's under assault in America. We will never win the spiritual war if Team Jesus is led by men who are shaken by reeds, dressed in fine linens, while hiding behind the pulpit in the king's house. Harrison Buttkicker fired the first salvo over the bow of the feminist agenda. That's what he did, folks. At what point will the soft-dressed American church leaders publicly get behind him? My friends, war is not for sissies. And America is at war. Don't send a woman to do a man's job, boys and girls. Thank God for men like Harrison Buttkicker. It's time for all the Christian weenies to come out from hiding from the butchy feminist women and take our rightful place at the head of the home. America could use a few more John the Baptist and a few less Joel Osteens and his cadre of prissy pastors. Amen, Vinny.
Amen.
It's time to man up, my Christian brothers. Despite what you've been taught, it was gritty, gutsy men who made America great. Your country and your king need you now. Take some time and read about the Faith Hall of Fame. Christian testosterone is a good thing. It's time we made Christian masculine again.
Boom.
There's a few typos in there. I just read them. Huh? Huh? Sissified freaking church. Makes me barf. Makes me barf. Oh, I could go down that road. I'll go down that road calling the church she. Church is a she. What? So, oh yeah, coach is a she because Jesus is going to marry the church. No, you haven't read it. You haven't read it. He's going to marry the New Jerusalem. Oh yeah, you go ahead, check it. You check it. You're going to see the New Jerusalem descending out of heaven as a bride prepared for her husband. Go read it. Go read it. Jack, come on in.
Yeah, coach, I really hope you don't sue me. That one passage where about the sound of the trumpet, I had to copy and paste it and I put it on Facebook. Sorry.
Oh, you mean you were about plagiarism? Yeah. Yeah. If the trumpet blast is uncertain,
I don't want you to sue.
Who'll go to war? Is there a certain trumpet blast? Is there anybody standing up boldly where saying what I just said? And I've been watching for a week. I've been watching for a week to see who comes out and supports him. And you know why the pastors ain't doing it? Because women run the church. They're not going to say it.
Amen.
They're not going to say it. There ought to be a.
That's a kaboom.
There ought to be 100,000 people in Kansas City carrying, yes, Buttkicker. Yes, are they anywhere to be seen? No, the butch-haired feminists, they're out marching, though. Oh, yeah, why? Because they believe their king. Them. Randy.
Yeah, Coach, good commentary. But what I see, Coach, and you hit on it there, what that did, it exposed that the men are as much complicit with feminism as the women.
That's right.
They don't even understand how feminist they are, or how they're tolerant of feminism. So the church is very tolerant of feminism, Coach, and that may be why the men are so effeminate.
We don't even know what it means to be a Christian, right? We don't even know what it means. Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war. When's the last time that's been sung in your church? Huh? With the cross of Jesus going on before? What? Vanquishing the enemy? What? We're supposed to be loving him, aren't we? Hey, Coach Dave, who are you to judge? Coach Dave. What? Yes? Hey, Spencer, do me a favor. Pull back up that commentary because I want to show you guys something. Clay, I'll get you. Paul, I'll get you. Pull that back up and go to those hyperlinks down there. I want you to see something. I want you to see two things. Scroll on down. Clear down at the bottom. Wait a minute. Right there. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go back up there. Okay. Here, in fact, click on he is playing on the other team. I found this yesterday. Travis Kelce takes a stand. Here's a stand he took. I will resign if Harrison Butker's on the team next season. This manly, being led around by his teeth by Taylor Swift. And he said, I'm not going to play on his team next year. Huh? Are you kidding me? So he said to his teammate, wonder how, oh, I shouldn't say that. Oh, I want to, Lord, but I won't. Okay, go back. And then, here you go. Click on listen to this dolt. This is Travis Kelce. Hang on. He graduated, right? Boy, this is a man here. This is a man. Go ahead. It's a minute 21 seconds. He's speaking after he gets his diploma.
All right. Somebody must have written something. All right, here we go. To all my fellow students, of our candidates for the degrees from the Carl H. Lindner College of Business, and the College of Arts and Sciences, can please line up. I will call your name.
Hang on, it's coming.
That's the president's part. You gotta talk about the city. I'm saying way too much. It says it right there. All right. I'll leave that to the president. To all my fellow students, I got a few words of advice. You heard my welcome to Cincy moment. And before we make this thing official, I thought I'd give you guys some advice. You gotta fight for your right to fight!
That's a man, right? That's a man. That's a man. Kelce Swift, that's right. Travis Swift, that's what we're looking at. You get this, folks? Do you understand this? Do you understand? That butt kicker wants to be a godly man and love his wife and protect his wife and have children. The old American way, the Christian way, the thing that made America great. He wants to do that. And his own freaking teammate who's chasing around that supposed witch, he ain't going to play on the same team, is he? It's amazing. Clay.
Well, I just wish I had a church around here that, where somebody like you or Pastor Dale or Jamie Walden, would preach the sermon, and then we would have some, if you're going to have some kind of music, either have some old-fashioned music or either have, something like those troops, that video that you played a while back, those troops that were praising the Lord, that something manly. There's been some sermons that I've listened to where the preacher may have been preaching some really good truth. And then after he preaches it, and maybe you got a little bit of adrenaline going to where you want to fight for the Lord. Then somebody gets up on the stage and start singing some wimpy little song, and then it just lets the wind out of your sails. And the people that are sitting next to you on the pews, they wouldn't even say amen when the preacher was preaching truth. They finally wake up and they stand up and then they sing and sway to the music with some wimpy music playing, and you're embarrassed to even stand up, you know. But if you stay sitting in your pew, then everybody wants to discuss behind your back what's wrong with him. Is he really saved because he's not standing up listening to the music? It's just, I just hate it. Like you say, it's not a manly environment.
It's not at all. It's a wussy environment with wussy songs. Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. Let me tell you something. My wife, Michelle, is the most unbelievable feminine woman I know. You know what she loves? She loves the fact that she doesn't have to go to work. She loves it. That she can stay home and cook and feed her grandbabies and babysit her grandbabies. She didn't have to send them off to some daycare, send them off to some whatever. No, no, no. They're at the feet of their grandmother every day. You know what she loves? Sorry, girls, if you don't get this. She loves her masculine covering. She loves her masculine covering because she knows that she's protected and she can be herself. That's all butt kickers talking about. Huh? Look around. Look at the women. How old Taylor Swift? At what point is she going to start having children? At what point? Some point she's going to be 70 years old and have no grandchildren? Are you kidding me? She's going to miss out on that greatest experience in your whole life. And those are the people who are dominating and controlling, and our population is continuing to go on and on and on. Paul Webb, come on in.
Great show, Coach. It's three things. Number one, you know, you talked about earlier about that we're at a war and the churches don't really talk about that. Another thing, too, is a lot of churches don't talk about the blood of Jesus and the potency and the power of that blood. Amen. And that's one thing. Number two is how we portray Jesus. Look at the pictures you see of Jesus. He looks like he's some kind of Tiny Tim,
wimpy
looking dude. And I'm like, No, he's not some kind of drug addict. He's a strong man physically, but he's also spiritually strong. And number three, it's ironic. You know, everybody talks about the kickers being a bunch of sissies and wussies and all that. That Harrison Butker has more manliness than Travis Kelce has in his entire pinky, you know.
That's what I said. Yep. We saw who the real man on the Kansas City Chiefs was, didn't we? Huh?
Yeah. And it was ironic too, is if you listened a couple of days ago, I don't know if it was yesterday, a couple of his teammates, you know, they said, look, we may not agree on everything, but he's a great teammate. I know his character. His coach stood up for him. You know, and it's funny
owner,
because
the owner stood up for him. Where are all the owners? Where are all the owners? Where are all the NFL players? Where are they? Where are they? This is their moment. Oh, no. No, they can't do that.
What woman, and you had a lot of these feminists running around here talking about, what woman would not have be honored to be about a man that's providing for you, giving you protection? Yeah. That's what they want. And they know that, but they're so, you know, caught up in all this other crap that, you know. But yeah, he's doing the right thing, man. I'm telling you. I'm glad Clark Hunt is standing up for him because he's proclaimed his faith too, and a lot of times as well. And it's great that he's standing up. He's not cowering to what these idiots are trying to do. So
I just read in Romans, Paul, if the trumpet blast is uncertain, who will go to war? Travis Kelce, I'm sorry, a butt kicker. Blew the trumpet, baby. He blew the trumpet. And are men preparing for war? The trumpet blast was certain. He blew it. Where's the church? Laura Ann.
I listened to the New Heights podcast that Travis Kelce has with his brother. And by doing what he's doing, he's insulting his brother, Jason, who has a really tight family. And and he's married, he has three little girls, and it's really sad to see that Jason isn't backing Jason Kelce, is his brother, who was a center for the Eagles, isn't backing.
They're from Cleveland, Ohio.
Right. And they're both from Cleveland. And like, and Travis Kelce just did his, you know, his Kelce jam in Ohio. Yeah. And he had, you know, Machine Gun Kelly and everything, and he was acting like a complete fool there too. And he thinks that he's, you know, the next new rapper, because that's probably going to be his next career, because he's completely sold out to the Illuminati. And Taylor Swift, I mean, I remember, I'll never forget, when Travis Kelce said on their New Tights podcast was that because his mom was wanted grandkids from him because he was getting older. He's like, I'm going to have to find a breeder, not a wife, not a mother for my children, a breeder.
Okay. So I'm looking around. I just Googled Taylor Swift. She's 34 years old, 34 years old, and being thrown in our faces as a model to young girls, 34 years. At what point do you stop really having children? She's getting pretty close, isn't she? She hadn't even started having children. Taylor Swift. How old's Travis Kelce? Anybody know? Google him real quickly. How old's he? When's he going to man up and start being a father? Does anybody know? How old's Travis Kelce?
33.
He's 33. So he's a 33-year-old man. It hasn't taken the responsibility of being a father and a husband yet. What? And who's everybody siding with? No wonder the church is in a mess. Kevin.
That's what I was just fixing to say. All right, will never have a child with that woman. You can't. How are you going to have a child with a witch?
Well, even physically, right? I'm sure they're not sleeping together now. I'm sure they're wedding to marriage. I'm sure they are. I mean, they're both. He's Catholic, I think, wasn't he? Didn't Travis Kelce go to Catholic school? I believe he's Catholic. Taylor Swift. I don't know what her. Kevin, the other Kevin, Patriot 1776. Come on in.
All right, thanks, Coach. So when this first happened, it immediately reminded me of another attack several months ago, because the MO is exactly the same. It's coming from all the same people, the whole same side, the whole same flavor. We've seen this movie before, and that was when the attack came against Jason Aldean. Okay, y'all remember that. Yeah. And who brought the big push? That was met with major pushback. And who brought the pushback? The NASCAR crowd that you always talk about. It was the NASCAR crowd that stood up and said, hell no, not in our small town. Okay, where's the church on this one? Now, you'll see that a lot of the pushback on this one is also coming from the NASCAR crowd. Now, you saw what the NFL did when they came out with their official statement, and we don't stand with these sentiments and all this crap, right? Well, you remember a few months ago, one of the MMA fighters, I think it was McGregor, that came out against transgenderism and homosexuality and feminism of young boys and all of that. Okay, do you remember that in a press conference? And I mean, he was letting it all fly. He wasn't holding anything back, right? So the media went after the president of the MMA and said, well, do you really stand with this? And, you know, these homophobic slurs and anti-transgenderism and all this stuff, you know, are you going to rein him in? Are you going to pull in his lease? And he looked at the media guy and he said, are you kidding me? My guys aren't on a leash. They've got a right to think what they want and say what they want. You know, whether I agree or I disagree, that's got nothing to do with it. This guy's got a right to his own speech and he's got a right to his own thought. I'm not going to rein my people in. If they got something to say, they're going to say it. They can stand on their own. That's what the NFL should have done. But no, they were a bunch of cowards.
Well, they have their agenda is not a godly one. You know that for sure. Renetti's Pizza, come on in. Jack.
Oh, just a thought on the whole Taylor Swift thing. That poor woman has been on birth control, I'll guarantee you, since she was probably 12 years old. And she's been pregnant. Her body thinks she's been pregnant all these years. If she ever gets her life straight and decides to have children, she probably won't be able to. How sad. The whole world is like that. Our birth rate is catastrophic. It's not sustainable.
It's not. And what's the message the media is giving us? This ain't happening by accident, baby. Come on, folks. Come on. Johnny, come on in.
Hey, good morning. I was just thinking about, sometimes I watch this show, it's called Hollywood Graveyard. Have you ever heard of that?
I have.
It goes over celebrities and the lives that they lead. And you look at the percentage of any celebrity and what happens to them. They all die of drug overdose. They all die of suicide.
Empty life, baby.
Yeah. I mean, it's flushing. They're going right down the toilet. It's really sad.
So Johnny, I jumped on real quickly on Wikipedia and looked up Travis Kelce. Boy, list all the stuff he donates to and all the things. What the hell is that all about? He makes $7.5 million a year. And he's a hero because he gives $50,000 to some social thing. That makes him a good guy, right? Good guy. He's in the middle of the heart of destroying God's plan for humanity. He's right dead center in the middle of it. And doing good acts distracts from what's at the heart of what the message he's really spreading. Randy.
Yeah, Coach, he's just a puppet for their face of the, you know, of the ignorance. But Coach, I love demographics. I've been studying it quite a while. And the left, the radical, the Democrats, they don't have any fruit coming forward. They have no children, no family. They have to recruit and make people, you know, bring them in. That's why the border's open. One of the reasons they're trying to get a voter base. But Coach, if you see the picture, this is the picture. People get it. They're coming to nothing. Their fruit is coming to fruition. Okay. Our fruit is coming to fruition. So See what's coming. Don't look at what everything bad, the negative. See what God's doing. He is changing this thing right in front of us, Coach.
Amen. So jumping off right there, Randy, I just want to give a real stern warning to everyone out there. You guys know I'm not a doomer gloomer. I believe the sun's always coming up. I'm going to tell you something. We are in the midst of the beginning of cataclysmic times, friends. We're going to see it. It is the mercy of God. And sometimes God's love hurts. You know where I heard that? Flip Benham. Sometimes God's love hurts. And we're in some pain. We got some pain coming. Our economy is... inflation, the dollar's no good. We're running short on soldiers. Did you guys see that? Did you see that? We're running short on soldiers. Recruitment levels are only being filled because women are being recruited. You know that? Oh, yeah. You know that the number of immigrants coming across the border by the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, communist immigrants have come across the border. They're not Mexicans. They're not Mexicans coming across the border. And so the days that are ahead of us, those who have been working behind the scenes to silence men in particular, men of God particularly, better understand that they're about to unleash hell on us. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you, they have done, the Bible says in Psalm 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Foundations they're crumbling. They're totally and completely destroyed. And we're told in the scriptures that we're supposed to root up, tear down, pluck out, and rebuild. But anybody who's done any construction at all knows that the tearing down is the hardest part of reconstruction. You got to tear down before you can rebuild. And we're rapidly heading into it. Why do I say rapidly heading into it? They cannot lose control of the White House. I don't care if you're a Donald Trump fan. It doesn't even matter. He ain't on their team. Whatever team he's on, it ain't their team. And if justice were to come, do you think Merrick Garland would stand before a tribunal and come out of that thing with his life? No, folks, these are desperate, desperate times with desperate, desperate people. we better get serious and understand it, that we have to get engaged before it starts. Because once it starts, we will totally be playing catch up. But you know me, this is going to be our finest hour. Hey, God bless. Be encouraged. Hard to be encouraged after that. I get it. We're winning. See you tomorrow.